We just sang that song, There Is a Fountain. And right below the title it says, There Shall Be a Fountain Opened. Does that sound like a promise? That sounds like a promise, doesn't it? Did the Lord not say, There shall be? Usually when God says, actually I think every time God says there shall, it happens, doesn't it? That's a promise. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And allow me the honor to read some scripture in other areas before we go to our text in Colossians. In John 6:53, it says, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now that's God's word. This is exactly what God's people do every time we turn into his word. We feast. We fill our thirst. And the only one who can, the one with the living water, the bread from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not literally. In fact, some of his disciples, when they heard that, thought that to be a very hard saying. But we're talking about spiritual feasting. We're talking spiritually. We must worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Our souls are sustained, nourished, as it were, by this knowledge. He has paid it all. Sin has left a crimson stain. He made me white as snow. I remember a devotional that my brother Lee brought many years ago. It was about the one who not only has the authority to make such promises as what we just read, the fountain shall be opened, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Not only did this one that Lee brought forth in his devotions have the authority to give those promises, he had the power to fulfill them, to make them happen. Unlike you and I, you know, I don't know about you folks, but I've made promises and I've broken before. I do that a lot more than I want to admit. A lot of times it's because I just don't have the power to fulfill what I promised to do. I wanted to be big or whatever reason, and I've said, oh, I'll do that. And later on, I can't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ has never done that. Everything he has ever said shall be, has been, and will be. The main point is, the promises made by God shall come to pass. Christ has the authority and the power to fulfill completely and perfectly, and all that God has said shall come to pass. My title tonight is The Power of His Blood. And I'd like to take us through some scripture looking at just what the power of his blood has accomplished by the shedding of it. If you're with me in Colossians 1, my first point tonight I want to make is the power of his blood in redemption. In Ephesians 2:13 it says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's God's word. Are you with me in Colossians? Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet, the Father, which had made us fit, the Father, which had made us fit. And I repeated that three times because the world doesn't believe that. The world believes that God has done something, but it's up to them to accept it or reject it. That has nothing to do with what we just read, is it? No, God, the Father, has made you fit. God the Father is the one who has to do that work. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Speaking of God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, the very darkness that Mike, our brother, brought us through on the plagues of Egypt this morning, so thick. I love that what you brought out on how that was a picture of our sin, the sin in the world being so dark. He delivered us from the power of that darkness. It was God Himself who came to us in the day that we were dead in trespasses and sin and quickened us, gave us life, put His light in us, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, in His dear Son, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The powerful blood of God cleanses our souls, all of our sins, and sets us free, delivers us from the power that held us and brings us into a living union with His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Lord Jesus, paid the redemptive price with His own blood. The blood of God runs through His veins. Blessed Redeemer, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This Son of the living God has power. Look at verse 15. This one in whom we have redemption, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, by this one that we have redemption through, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created for Him, or by Him and for Him. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in this one that laid down His life, redeemed His people, in this one all the fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, three. Absolutely. Three people. Three distinct persons. Yet one purpose. To glorify the God. One will, and it shall be done. Perfect harmony. Our great Creator, He who is God in the flesh, the God-man Himself, shed His blood that we might live. God provided Himself a sacrifice. That's what He told Abraham, told his son. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. And He did. His Son, the Lord Jesus, our substitute. You don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians 1:6 it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Isn't that wonderful? By His grace our sins were forgiven because of His blood and the power that was in it to do the job. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, excuse me, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind of wicked, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. I can't get that through my mind, Pastor. I hear you say that. I hear the scripture tell me that. And it's true. God remembers our sins no more. We're as holy as Christ himself right now. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Would you turn over to Hebrews 10 for me, please? You see, that brings me to my next point. The blood of Christ presents us holy, unblameable. The power of his blood in sanctification, making us holy, setting us apart from the world, taking us out of that dark pit that we were in, that unholy, wicked life that we lived. And yeah, we still sin. We still fight the flesh. But Christ in us, the hope of glory, as you brought out in your message this morning. We have been made holy, unblameable, unreprovable by the shedding of his blood. God remembers our sin no more. All of our sins, past, present, and future, have been laid upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As far as God is concerned, they are as gone as far as the west is from the east. Are you with me in Hebrews 10? Look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, made holy, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We are set apart by his sacrifice. Not anything that we have done, no decision that we have made. Grace is from God and from God alone. And without that grace, there's only one thing left. Works. And works is failure. Everything we do is failure. Even the man who plows the field to feed his family is failure if it's not for the sake of Jesus Christ. If it's not for God, then all it is for man. Unlike the sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament, this sacrifice is the blood of power. This sacrifice will fulfill its purpose. The power of this blood cleanseth, sets apart, makes holy all for whom it was given for. All that the Father giveth me. Once. That's how powerful it was. One time. It was done. Nothing left to do, Mike. Should I just sit down and rest? No. Okay. We'll keep going. Once and for all. Verse 11. And every priest that standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins, but this man, this substitute, this one whose names of every one of his people are on the breastplate that he wears on his chest, every name is inscribed in the holes that were put in his hands. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It was one offering because that's all that was needed. He didn't have to do once every year. He did it once, and that was all it needed to be done. That's the power of God's blood. That's the power of that blood that was shed on the cross for you and I. His blood has the power to accomplish perfectly what it was shed for. Our great and wonderful Savior is called Jesus because He shall save His people. He saved His people. He does not offer eternal life. He gives it. Because He walked a perfect walk, because He was perfect in every way, holy in all that He did, we who are in Him have a perfect righteousness in Him. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made righteous in Him. Now turn over to Romans chapter 4, if you would. Romans chapter 4, and this brings me to my next point. The power of His blood in justification. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." God has promised eternal life to all who believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will fulfill that promise to all that were given to Him before the world was. As it says in His Word, by giving the gift of faith to each and every one of them, the gift to believe. How else could one explain the strong faith that Abraham exhibited? Have you ever thought about that for a minute? Could I do what Abraham did? Absolutely. If God gives you the faith to do it, you can do it. I can't see myself doing it. I couldn't see. That's because I'm weak. I'm in the flesh. I see my flesh only. But the power of God is all that we need for anything. And if God wants us to do something, He's going to give us the power to do it. He's going to give us the ability, the faith, to go through with it. Look at verses 18 through 25 of chapter 4. Romans 18. Who against hope believed in hope. Now I want to stop there for just a second. I know we just started, but this is last night in that meeting, that motivational meeting. It was all about man. I saw no hope. I said this in this morning's devotional. When I talk about my responsibility, what I need to do to act like a Christian, that troubles me. Because I know I fail at it. I can't do it. I can't be the person that motivational guy was standing there last night talking about. And as I looked around the room, I bet you there was anybody in the room foolish enough to really think that they could be it either. Amway was a motivational thing. You're right. I was in that too. Shared with Pastor Gene. I got so stupid, I went out and bought a Cadillac right afterwards. Before I made any money. And Kathy can shake your head about that. I know, baby. I'm sorry. My responsibility as a Christian troubles me every minute. It's difficult to talk about that with people. Pastor Gene warned me how difficult that message was going to be, but I had to give it. But when I talk about Christ, when I talk about the power of His blood, oh, what peace there is. We who are in Christ have nothing to worry about. He's paid it all. He's done it all. The power of His blood has accomplished it all. That's where our hope is. If your hope is in anything else, you're going to fail. It's no hope at all. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Why did he believe that? Because God gave him the faith to. We just spoke about that a moment ago. God-given faith. He believed God. When God says that I am as white as snow, because of his son, I believe it. That he might become the father of many nations, and according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Is that not what we did a moment ago when you all agreed with me? You could do it if God gave you the faith. What did we just do there? We gave God the glory. We can't do it on our own, only if it was through Him. That's giving God the glory. There's no glory for you and I to have there. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, what God had promised him, he was also able to perform. There's power in the blood. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who has delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ died. God gave his own life for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, our acquittal. You see, the judge that's on the throne, he has thrown out all the charges against us. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Those who are in Christ Jesus the Lord, God is a just God and cannot charge twice for the crimes committed. Our substitute has taken those crimes into the grave and left them there. He didn't take them with him when he went back to heaven. They're still down there in the darkness. They're gone forever. And the blood that was given for those charges is the blood of God himself. Turn over to Hebrews 9, if you would, please. The blood that was given for those charges, it was effectual because it was God himself who gave the blood. It accomplished its purpose, as all of things that God has said shall be accomplished. And that's what God's word tells us. This is the gospel to a sinner. We know it because he lives. Death could not hold him. Are you with me in Hebrews 9? Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, for us, for you, Russ, for you, Mike, for you, Lindsay, for all of his people throughout all time, from all tongues, all tribes. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is power in his blood. This is the power of his blood. It accomplishes everything he says it will. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He is on his throne right now, interceding for his elect, his people, his chosen, his vessels of mercy. We are justified just as though we had never sinned. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Folks, there is hope in the gospel. There is hope, but only in Christ. And that is the gospel. That is the good news. Sinners have some place to go. The question is, are you a sinner? Has God shown you the sinner that you are? The gospel is Christ. Look to Christ and be saved. There is power in his blood. Wonder working power. Pastor.